Chet Edwards joins us this morning. How are you doing, Chet?
Scott, doing great. Good morning.
Tonight, of course, the State of the Union address. What do you expect to hear from the president?
Scott, I haven't seen the speech yet, but the main topic of discussion right now across the country is the president's proposal for a three-year hard freeze on all non-defense appropriations. And I think that's a very positive step in the right direction. There are some who've minimized the importance of this and said, well, it only reduces the deficit by $250 billion. Well, if anybody thinks $250 billion reduction in the deficit isn't important, maybe that's why we got into this mess in the first place with that kind of attitude. It alone won't balance the budget over the next decade, but it is a very positive first start, and it'll be opposed by people who want the government to spend more. It'll be opposed by those who, want to be partisan, but I think it's a great step forward, and I'm thrilled that Senator McCain stepped up yesterday and on a bipartisan basis said this is something Republicans and Democrats should join in together to support. I am disappointed that the Senate voted down a proposal to create a new balanced budget commission to help us find a way out of this terrible deficit situation we find ourselves in. I'm proud of Senator Judd Gregg and others who worked on a bipartisan basis to support it, but I'm very critical of some of the most liberal Democrats and a number of Republicans in the Senate who had co-sponsored the bill and decided at the last minute they'd vote no against the bill that they co-sponsored. So I strongly disagree with what the Senate did yesterday. It looks like now the White House will have to create a bipartisan commission to help us get control of entitlement spending and help bring this deficit under control.
Well, it seemed like the two parties were opposing it for different reasons. The Republicans opposing it because they were afraid they would recommend tax hikes, and the Democrats were afraid that they might have spending cuts, especially on social programs.
Well, and that's how we got into this mess in the first place. Nobody wants to make tough decisions, and there are no easy ways out of the deficit situation we're facing. We've got to do what we did in the 1990s that I was part of to make some tough choices and bring this deficit back under control. I hope some of the senators will reconsider, but if they don't, then I'm glad that the White House has said they will create by executive order a bipartisan commission.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Now, yesterday, the CBO also came out with some numbers. Again, I don't know that these are numbers that anybody can relate to. We thought that originally the figure was going to be $1.4 trillion for the deficit. It's $1.35 trillion. I don't know if that's supposed to be a good idea or not, or a good feeling. But also what they said is that the unemployment rate is going to continue to be high. And we do have kind of a protection here, especially around the 17th Congressional District. But still, we're going to have over 10% unemployment, and there are people having to cut budgets who have never been used to that before. And they really kind of look to Washington to be doing the same thing, cutting budgets.
Well, I think this this hard three-year freeze is a good start. And I think that can help get our economy back in the long run in stronger shape, because if we have massive deficits at the time we come out of recession, interest rates could go through the roof. You could see the country going back into a second recession. So I do think this is a very good start.
We had a listener send in an email, and they ask, as I understand it, Congress sets it up so that they get a pay increase unless they vote not to get a pay raise. If that's true, that's hardly fair, especially when Congress is not living by the same rules as everybody else.
Well, first of all, I have voted repeatedly against congressional pay raises in tough economic times. And the reality is that Congress has frozen its pay for this year, and I supported that effort. On those years when Congress does get a pay raise, it's based on the Consumer Price Index minus, I think, a half a percent. But the reality is the country's struggling. Families are struggling. Businesses are struggling. And I think Congress should set an example, and that's why I have in the past voted repeatedly against pay raises and why I helped pass the legislation that froze congressional pay for this year.
Consumer prices down over the past year. Monthly Social Security benefits will not automatically increase in 2010. Are you in favor of doing something to see that they are increased?
Well, the whole question, I would love to see the benefits increase. The whole question is, with a $1.35 trillion deficit, where are we going to get the money to do it? And that is the challenge. Now, last year, the Social Security COLA increase was the largest, I think, in many, many years, if not the largest in decades. And then when oil prices went down, that's why the formulas said that because prices have gone down, there wouldn't be a COLA. What I did vote in Congress to do is say that the net income of seniors could not be reduced because Medicare costs are going up. Normally, you take out of somebody's Social Security check additional costs for Medicare, and we stopped that from happening to prevent seniors from actually getting a lower Social Security check this year than they received last year.
Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. So tonight, does the president try to continue to battle for health care and push through for that and go down trying to do that, or should they take the tack where they just get away from health care and let it rest?
Scott, I think the president will probably make one last effort here over the next month or two to get a comprehensive health care reform bill passed. I disagree with that approach. I think the country simply has lost confidence, not only in the product of the present health care bills pending in the House and Senate, but the process. You know, the deals cut for people like Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska. I think there has to be a totally new approach if there's going to be anything done. And I think the bill has to be cut from 2,000 pages down to 100 or 200 pages. I think the cost of the bill would have to be dramatically reduced. I think we ought to focus on things such as bringing in more competition into the insurance industry. One way to do that is to not allow them special antitrust provisions that they've had in law that other businesses don't have. And by trying to address some of the insurance reform issues, trying to help people that have pre-existing conditions, seeing that somebody who's paying their health insurance doesn't lose that health insurance because they or a family member got sick. I think it has to be a dramatically changed bill to have a chance of winning the confidence of the American people. And if that can't be done, then we need to just move on. And I think Democrats have made the mistake of getting off message. The message is strengthening this economy and reducing the deficit. That's what Americans care about, and that's what we ought to be focused on.
Think that focus changed? They got off message in Massachusetts as a result of that?
Well, I think that the Massachusetts election was certainly a reflection of people's sense that we want Congress and Washington focusing on the economy, jobs, and the deficit. And I think a mistake was made last year when they brought up the cap-and-trade energy bill. That should have never been brought up. That could have increased energy costs at a time that we were in a very, very serious recession. And I think that just began the process of getting Congress off the message that the American people wanted us to focus on, again, the economy and reducing the long-term deficit.
Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. We've started candidate forums here on the radio station. We had the one with the state representatives this week. And the discussion was, of course, Texas must have a constitutional, a balanced, they must have a balanced budget because of constitutional amendment. And Texas arguably has one of the healthiest economies, yet they needed money from the federal government to balance their budget last year. Is Washington ready to help again for Texas or other states as they get ready to try to balance their budgets?
Well, I don't think Texas is going to get the kind of $16 billion infusion that they got last year in the stimulus bill. And the truth is, had the Texas legislators not received that funding, there'd have been massive cuts and teachers, layoffs, tens of thousands of teachers potentially, and people in higher education. I think you'd have had transportation projects shut down all over the state, so that that federal funding helped the state. But, you know, we were in the deepest recession since the Great Depression last year, and that was the reason for some of the economic stimulus money. But we're starting to get out of the recession now. Technically, we're out of the recession. We still have a long way to go to grow our economy. And I think our priority has to shift now toward reducing the federal deficit. So I don't see the kind of anywhere close to the kind of stimulus funding that the state of Texas received last year.
Finally today, in the Washington Examiner report this morning that you received $5,000 from Representative Charles Rangel's National Leadership PAC, Political Action Committee. To say that the congressman is being investigated on multiple issues by the Ethics Committee is an understatement. How do you feel about receiving that $5,000 from his PAC, and would you consider giving it back?
Well, I think the people who wrote that article first should have been honest in saying that that was in a previous campaign cycle.
Okay.
And I received no money from Congressman Rangel in this cycle. And if you'll read that release, it's obvious their intent for political attack is the fact that they hid the fact of when I received that money. If they wanted to be honest, they would have put when I last received a contribution from him, and I've received none in this campaign cycle. I also notice they don't criticize others who've some partisan political committees have received massive amounts of money from the, you know, Mr. Stanton, I believe his name is, the $8 billion swindler. So this is starting to get to be campaign season, so folks have got to put you know, their screens up and check through the facts on some of these kind of partisan attacks. And I, you know, frankly, it's this kind of partisan attack that I just think the American people are tired of, whether it comes from Democratic groups or whether it comes from Republican groups. We're facing a tough economic challenge and two wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Let's find some ways to be honest with each other, respect others, and work together for the good of our country.
Good. Well, that's why we brought it to you, so that you could let us know what your side of that was.
I appreciate that, Scott.
Yeah, Mark Hemingway was the guy who wrote that. All right, Congressman Chad Edwards joins us most every Wednesday while Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Scott, thank you now.